ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
It's hard to consider this amendment with a straight face. Ultimately, by declaring that she would withdraw the amendment if it stood a chance of passing, Hunt herself admits that child safety isn't her true motivation. So she does not really care about this. Then what's her motivation? You know, you could allow these kids to go to libraries and have, you know, drag queens read them stories, right? Dressed in the most outrageous outfits in the world. But going to vacation Bible school, that is really dangerous. Are there bad people out there? Yeah, there's bad people everywhere. For that matter, let's just stop going out of our homes. Oh, wait a minute, the home is dangerous too. So what are we going to do? You don't stop these things because of the small problems. You deal with those small problems and try and help prevent them. But you don't keep people from going to vacation or kids going to vacation Bible school or other activities to learn about the Lord, the one who can help them. And as I read that, you know, it's just, okay, I'm Italian, my blood boils. But I know God's in control. And I'll guarantee you this. I don't really care what the laws of government say when they go against the laws of God. The laws of government can't make me do what God has told me I need to do. That's just the reality. He's going to take care of us. Man may threaten us, but God is in control. I look at throughout church history how so many Christians were put to death or put in prison, and how God used those situations in a powerful way to minister to others. That means God knows the whole story, the whole picture. And he's going to use those evil things that man has perpetrated upon us for good. I like that. So for Pilate, Jesus empties this threat. Pilate, you have no control. The only control that you have is given to you by God. And that's for every single person and leader in this world. All things are moving according to his plan and his purposes. Now, we have to deal with another verse here in John 19, verse 11, or another part of verse 11, where Jesus says, therefore, the one who delivered me to you has the greater sin. Who's that? And could it be the high priest Caiaphas who turned Jesus over to Pilate? Could it be a Judas who turned Jesus over to the Roman soldiers and the Jewish religious leaders? He could be speaking of the Jewish people in general because they should have known better. They had the scriptures that spoke of the coming Messiah. Well, we don't know for sure, and probably all apply here. And I'll make it even broader. All of us are accountable before God. And before we were saved, we were in that boat. Like I said a few weeks ago, we're all Barabbas, right? Jesus has taken our place on that cross of Calvary because of our sin. And for Pilate here, he couldn't wash his hands of what he was allowing to happen. And we're going to see the compromise of sin here in verse 12 for Pilate. From then on, Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, saying, if you let this man go, you are not Caesar's friend. Whoever makes himself a king speaks against Caesar. Wow. These guys were good. I have to admit, these Jewish religious leaders and the Jews, they were very good at what they were saying here to get Pilate to do what they wanted. If you let him go, you're not Caesar's friend. If you speak, whoever makes him a king is going against Caesar. You're in trouble with Rome, buddy. Don't do it. And Pilate was in trouble with Rome. When he first came to the area, he came into town with his men carrying flags of Caesar's face on it. That was idolatry to the Jews. And they wouldn't stand for it. They rioted. They revolted. They came to Pilate's house in Caesarea, and he threatened them. He told them, look, I'm going to cut off your heads if you don't leave. You know what they did? Many of them, they exposed their necks in the rebellion, and many lost their lives. And the Jews wrote a letter to Rome complaining about Pilate. Oh, that's a strike one. He tried to build a better water system, but he didn't have enough funds to do it. So he took money from the Jewish treasury. More riots, more trouble, more deaths. Another letter to Rome, strike two. So I think he's just trying to be careful here. He doesn't want to get in trouble with Rome. He doesn't want to get three strikes because you know what three strikes means? You're out, right? So he was in trouble. And I think the Jews are playing their trump card here. They know they have Pilate where they want him. And what could he do? You know, if he lets Jesus go, oh, look, you're letting a king go. You're no friend of Caesar's. We're sending a letter. You're in big trouble, buddy. And so he's being influenced. And what this is a compromise of sin. Why do I say that? Because he knew Jesus was innocent. There were no crimes against him that he should be crucified. But once you start down that road of compromise, it's hard to find your way back. And Pilate is finding that out. And the same is true for us. Erdman put it this way. He said, you may do today exactly what Pilate did. He is simply an example of a man who lacks decision of character, who does not possess the courage of his convictions, who tries to compromise with wrong, who disobeys conscience through fear of personal loss. Yeah. I thought, as I was praying about this and thinking about this, I thought, you know, how many Christians are for abortion rights? We'd think, oh, there can't be any. Oh, there are a lot of Christians that are for abortion. How many Christians voted for people who are for abortion rights? Well, they have a lot of other good things for them. You know, well, they're allowing the murder of children. So how do you vote for them? How many Christians think homosexuality, transgenderism, and the like is not a sin, or there's nothing wrong with that lifestyle? And I can go on. But that's the road of compromise, and it's difficult to come back. Just look at the denominations and the non-denominational churches that started heading down this path and where they are today. Crazy. We saw this several weeks back at the Grammys. I didn't watch it. I just read about the things that went on there and saw the videos, which were horrible. But Sam Smith and Kim Petras, who I don't even know who these guys are, did their hit song Unholy, dressed like the devil, and it was nothing more than devil worship. You see all the people around them bowing before them? They're dressed like the devil. Devil doesn't look like that, but you get the point. This is evil, Senator Ted Cruz wrote on a social media while sharing a post from conservative political commentator Liz Wheeler, who similarly reacted, don't fight the culture wars, they say. Meanwhile, demons are teaching your kids to worship Satan. I could throw up. Yeah, I was amazed at what they were able to do. And I don't know. I don't know how much longer the Lord's going to let this garbage continue on. But you know what saddened me? Is that I read there were Christian artists that were up for Grammys that were there at this devil fest, I'll call it. Sorry. Do you really need to get an award from the world? And I'm real sorry. And again, this is my soapbox, so I needed to stand on so you could see me. Why do we even have Dove Awards? Why do we have to do that? Isn't all that we have, is it not a gift from God that we give him the glory instead of getting an award that I can take all the glory? See, I do have a problem with that. I mean, should we have awards for pastors? Shortest sermon of the year. I would not win that one. Stop laughing. But you see what I mean? This is a gift of God. You know, all our studies, you could download for free on our internet, the CDs, you could watch the videos, you can take my notes. They're there. Why? Because they're not mine. They're God's. He's given them to me. What right do I have to charge for them? Do I charge for CDs to be mailed? Sometimes, but most of our CDs that go out, we just send them out there because it's God. And we want to get his word out. We don't even charge for pastors to have their studies on our radio station. If they want to, they can. We have one church that does it out of, I don't know how many pastors are out there. Why? Because we want God's word to go out. Where God guides, he will provide. And I want the truths of God to be played on the air, to be heard on the internet. It's that important. I don't want to compromise at all. And we have to do what's right, what's good, what God has said, and not what the world is trying to get us to conform our lives to. We have to learn that lesson. Don't let the fear of man drive you. Let the Spirit of the Lord guide you, lead you. Because if we don't deal with this compromise of sin, then you will see the manifestation of sin in your life. Look at verse 13 here in John chapter 19. We're told this. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus out and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in Hebrew, Gabbatha. Now it was the preparation day of the Passover. and about the sixth hour, and he said to the Jews, "Behold your king." But they cried out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" And the chief priest answered, "We have no king but Caesar." Wow. Wow. You know, what a sad picture. The compromise of two groups of people, you might say. There was Pilate. He knew Jesus was innocent. He knew that there was nothing to convict him on, and he should have never been felt guilty at this judgment seat. Jesus should have been let go. But the crowds drove him, and the compromise of sin led to the manifestation of sin as he's going to make a guilty judgment upon Jesus and send him to the cross. And the other group of people, the Jewish religious leaders and the crowds of Jews that had gathered for this inquisition, they had no real reason to put Jesus to death. Some would argue, yeah, what he being a man claimed himself to be God. Well, yeah, that's, like I said, is what Jesus taught over and over again, but it was the truth. And they should have known it. Why? Because they had their scriptures. They should have seen that. But they rejected it. Why? Because they didn't want to see it. I'll give you a good example. This is one that just drives me crazy. But it's Isaiah 53. In most synagogues today, that's not even read. That's been taken out of their scriptures. Listen to what it says. I'll read verses 4 through 6 in Isaiah 53. "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we seemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." Notice the Father judged our iniquity as it was laid on the Son. That's the reality. But again, there's many that have a problem with this, the Jews, especially with Isaiah 53:6, and really the whole chapter of Isaiah 53, even the last part of Isaiah 52. What do they believe? They believe that this is speaking of Israel. Well, what does it say? He, him, right? Doesn't say they. And if we really thought about it, and if they really thought about it, when was the nation of Israel without sin? Never. When are we without sin? Never. The only reason we're without sin is because the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all our unrighteousness. And so how could they bear the sins of the world? How could they pay for it if they themselves were sinners? Speaking of Jesus, in a 1980 book, "You Take Jesus, I'll Take God," Samuel Levine, was a Jewish scholar, said, "As you know, the Jews were in Israel for around 1,000 years before Jesus appeared. They had a definite concept of what the Messiah would be like. There was a status quo regarding the nature of the Messiah. The Christians appeared and introduced an entirely different picture of what the Messiah would be like. Son of God, God incarnate, born of a virgin, two comings. Thus, the Christians changed the status quo concept of the Messiah, and so the full burden of the proof rests upon them." Well, I find that interesting because when the church got its start, was it a Gentile church? Oh, no, it was all Jewish. You see, they saw that Jesus is the Messiah, the ones that the Old Testament's prophets spoke of. Samuel Levine goes on to say, "Many Jewish commentators feel that it, Isaiah 53, refers to the Jewish people on the whole. Thus, Isaiah 53 could very well be describing the history of the Jewish people despised by the world, persecuted by the Crusaders and the Spanish Inquisition and the Nazis, while the world silently watched. The verses do not point exclusively to Jesus or to a Messiah." Well, I find that fascinating, really. The iniquity of us all are laid upon him. How is that speaking upon these travesties that happened in the Jewish people's lives? It doesn't. And I find it interesting. He says the verses do not point exclusively to Jesus. Well, you think there might be a hint? Or to a Messiah? Well, a 16th century rabbi, Moshe El Shekai, said of Isaiah 53, "Our rabbis with one voice accept and affirm the opinion that the prophet is speaking of the King Messiah, and we shall ourselves also adhere to the same view." You see, that was what was being taught. Isaiah 53 spoke about the Messiah. Why did they reject it? Why does Samuel Levine reject it? Because it points to Jesus, and I don't want to believe in Jesus. So I reject what our rabbis taught years before. In fact, we're going to get rid of Isaiah 53. You know, it is interesting that as you read Isaiah 53, there is no other way to interpret it. It has to be speaking of the Messiah, because it was a perfect sacrifice, without spot or without blemish. That's what Peter said in 1 Peter 1, verses 18 and 19. Knowing that you are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold, from your aimless conduct received by the tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. No inherited sin, no acquired sin in his life. Jesus is without sin, and that's why he was able to pay in full the penalty for our sins. We all have inherited sin from Adam, and we have plenty of our own sin. Just wake up every day. If you don't wake up, well, then you're doing good, probably. But we wake up, and we have this problem of sin because we carry these bodies of flesh with us. And it's interesting for the Jews to bow their knee to Caesar. Forget about it. Even the Christians, many were put to death because once a year they had to bow the knee to Caesar and say, Caesar is Lord. And they said, we only worship one God. We're not bowing our knee. And they were put to death. But the Jews are saying, we have no king but Caesar. And again, wow. I don't know why Pilate didn't say, are you kidding me, guys? You won't even bow the knee to Caesar himself, and now you say you have no king but Caesar? But when you start to compromise into sin, you'll see these manifestations of sin. And look at the hatred that they have. There was no reason for them to be that angry with Jesus, but they had this hatred growing, and now it's like an ugly monster. And it all leads to this last point, the end result. Look at verse 16. So he, Pilate, delivered him to them to be crucified. So they took Jesus and led him away. What's the end result of sin? Death and destruction. Death and destruction. You know, we see it in marriages where a spouse cheats. Wow, that was a tough one. A spouse cheats, commits adultery, and it brings death and destruction to the marriage. Relationships where envy, strife, and the like bring about death and destruction in those relationships. With drugs, alcohol, it brings death and destruction to family and friends. And, you know, we can just go on, but we've all experienced what happens with sin and how it devastates our lives. That's why we're not to go down that path. And if you are, repent, get right with the Lord, because death and destruction does come from these things. And all it says, you know, Pilate delivered him to be crucified, and they took Jesus and led him away. Keep in mind that four Roman soldiers were in charge of a prisoner, and one would walk in front carrying a sign with the prisoner's charges. The prisoner himself would carry the 100-pound crossbeam through the streets. They would take the longest route to Golgotha. Why? Well, so the other citizens can see what happens when you go against or defy the power of Rome. It's an incentive. Don't go down that path, or you'll be walking these streets. And they're heading to Calvary, the place of the skull, and we'll deal with that next time in our study of the Gospel of John. But what I want to focus on here is, we bring the study to a close, is Pilate. He let sin compromise what he was to do. He let sin become manifested in his life as he sat in the judgment seat and is going to put to death an innocent man. This is the end result of sin, death. And, you know, Pilate tried to wash his hands, but he couldn't. He couldn't wash his hands from the guilt of sin, of crucifying an innocent man. And What's man's answer to the problem of sin? Man tries to wash away his sins, right? He tries, well, I'll just try a little harder, be a little nicer. You know, the Day of Atonement in Israel, since they don't have a temple, they can't make sacrifices yet. The Day of Atonement, prior to that, they try to do good. You know, they help little old ladies cross the street, even if they don't want to go. They do whatever they can to be good, so their good deeds will outweigh their bad deeds. Well, let me ask you this. Is there anywhere in the scripture where it says, by being a good person, it will wash away your sins? No, not even in the Old Testament where it says that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. We see it again in the New Testament over and over again. But that's man's answer. I'll just be good enough. I'm a good person, basically. What is ironic here is that the one who could wash away Pilate's sin was Jesus. And yet Pilate was trying to do by washing his own hands is what only God can do, take away our sins. You know, we all know probably the song, What Can Wash Away My Sin? What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon, this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing, this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can my sin erase, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not of works, 'tis all of grace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus. And now you're thinking, man, he said that over and over again, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Why? Because there is nothing, nothing but the blood of Jesus that can take away your sins, that can wash you as white as snow. Nothing. And for Pilate, he didn't listen to what Jesus was saying, and the end result, death and destruction. What do I mean? Well, we don't know everything that happened to Pilate. It's kind of vague, but many believe that he was removed from his position in Judea by Emperor Caligula. He was exiled to Gaul in France, and there he committed suicide. In other words, death and destruction. And I pray, you know, everyone here, those listening on the radio, the internet, if you have not been cleansed by the blood of Jesus, not made a decision for him, not repented of your sins, that you would do so. And it's not that difficult. Admit you're a sinner. Believe in Jesus Christ and receive him into your life. All you have to do is, Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. And my sins have separated me from you. And I ask you to forgive me of my sin and to be Lord and Savior of my life. Amen. You mean I don't have to crawl on glass up a mountain to some shrine? I don't have to do this? No, it's been done for you. And we'll see that next week. These words that Jesus said, it's one word in the Greek, three words in English. It is finished, paid in full, tetelestai in the Greek. You see, it's all been done by him. And now, do you want to receive that gift of everlasting life or don't you? It's a choice. And for Pilate, he had the choice. What is he going to do with Jesus? I mean, the thief, the other two thieves on the cross that were hanging with Jesus, one came to know him. What good works did that other thief do that he was going to enter into paradise with Jesus that day? What good works? Absolutely none. He was a thief, a murderer. He did no good deeds. Well, he had to be baptized then to be saved. No, Jesus didn't get off the cross and baptize him. What did he do? He believed. The other prisoner who was being crucified had the same choice and rejected him and mocked Jesus. And those are the people in the world today. Two groups of people. One group that repents of their sin and asks Jesus to be Lord and Savior of their life. The other who just mocks Jesus. Paul said in Ephesians 2, for by grace you have been saved, through faith, and that not of yourself, as a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. There was no work done by that thief on the cross except his sin. And Jesus forgave him because he came to save sinners. He came to save you and me. We need to remember, even as Christians, that we don't compromise the sin because the end results, death and destruction. We need to walk according to that high calling by which we've been called. Listen to what the Lord is telling us. Because, man, he has an amazing life for us. Not when we get to heaven, right here and now. Is it hard? Absolutely. If it wasn't difficult, think about this. If it wasn't difficult, do we really need Jesus to help us? No. I think God allows things in our lives to get us to trust more and more in him. It's a walk of faith, but it's one step at a time. You know, before I came up here to be pastor, if God told me everything that was going to happen these last 27 and a half years, I probably would have never came. Are you kidding me? But he doesn't. It's one step at a time. And as things happen, he's stretching our faith. He's getting us to trust in him more. He doesn't tell us everything. It's a walk of faith, guys. And I don't know where you're at, what you're going through. But remember, don't compromise. Keep your eyes on Jesus and see the salvation he's going to bring to the situations you find yourself in. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. And Lord, as we continue on in this story next week, it's difficult. All that Jesus endured for us, that we can live with him and have that that forgiveness of sin in our lives. Thank you, Lord. I just pray that you help us to keep our eyes on you. And Lord, that if there are any who don't know you here or listening on the radio, the internet, Lord, that you would touch their hearts, that you would show to them who you are, that they would come to that saving faith. We thank you and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion, won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.